podcast uses profanity and topics may be disturbing for some listeners. Listen at your own risk. Welcome back to the Hell on Heels podcast. I'm Bryce.
I'm Amanda.
And hello, welcome back.
Hi, how are you?
I think we just established how I am tonight.
Yeah, not... yeah.
It's fine. But you know what? Good news.
Okay.
Good. Are you ready? So part of my Mother's Day gift, I know I showed it to you before.
Yes, I love it.
The Owala cup. That is supposed to be here on Wednesday.
Shut the front door. Oh, you're getting it early.
Yeah, I am. I sure am. The other part I can order next week.
I don't even know what I... Okay, that's not true. I didn't know what I wanted until we spoke earlier. And you showed me a specific starry Owala cup.
And James is for sure getting it for you. I mean, I don't know what James is getting for you. There may have been a coordinated attack on James. Amanda and I were looking at Owalas together at work. Uh-huh. I mean, I was at my work. She was at her work. It doesn't matter. Point is that I then said, hold on, I'm going to let James know of a Mother's Day gift idea. And I gave him two options.
Oh, two. I only know of the one.
You know, the other one. I sent both of them.
Oh, okay.
But the one is the one that I'm going to make sure you get, I guess. Uh-huh. Or at least I'm going to. If I don't get it, you don't get it. So.
Oh, okay.
Because I already talked to James, so there is a coordination here so that only one person can fail, okay?
Okay.
Okay. But the first part of mine is on its way. Last I checked, it was supposed to be here Wednesday. I'm checking again because it is coming to me with DHL. So, it's probably going to be delayed. But it does say it had movement today.
Ooh,
it doesn't tell me where it is. It says depart USPS sort facility. And that was at 4:52 p.m. So, it's in Utah.
It's getting closer.
It's actually like an hour away.
Oh, that's nothing. So maybe tomorrow.
Yeah, possibly. I don't know. We'll see. If it's still at the hour away place and they haven't sorted it, probably Wednesday. But my point being is I should have the first part of my Mother's Day gift tomorrow. Not tomorrow, Wednesday. And I'm very excited.
I'm excited for you.
Yeah. So there's that. And then what else was I going to tell you?
Not sure.
I don't remember. Oh, I was going to share.
A Gatorade Zero. I wish you could share it.
Hold on. This has Monster in it too, though. I don't have any pre-mixed apple juice, but we have apple juice.
Oh, okay, you froze. Cut out. One of us froze.
You froze.
I heard. I don't know if there's any way to prove that, but okay. I heard Monster, and we don't have any pre-mixed apple juice, which I'm confused as to what that. What is pre-mixed apple juice?
Okay, so I did put. This is like. I drank it down to like here and then put Monster in. So this is like half and half, I guess. Monster and Gatorade Zero because I needed some energy. The pre-mixed apple juice, we watered down the boys with apple juice. So I take like a little jar that has, it's like a little pitcher. And I just make a pitcher with like a little bit of apple juice and mostly water. And then I don't have to mix it up every single time we pour apple juice.
Ah, clever. See, I mix it up every single time.
See, but if you do that, they don't know you're watering it down. Like, they can't catch you unless you're making it with them present.
Oh, at this point, I think they just think that's how you do it. Because Annie knows. But there's sometimes when, like, Lee needs, you know, full apple juice, if you know what I mean.
I know.
So he gets it, and Annie's like, oh, Mama, there's no water. And I have to, like, fake putting water.
Oh, well.
So.
Yeah, you could just make it the easy way, like I do, just get a pitcher. Put a little bit of apple juice, a little bit of water, whatever ratio you want, and you're good. But it just saves a little bit of time. It's not saying it saves a whole ton, but it saves enough that my sanity is not gone. So
that's enough in this day and age, especially.
Oh, for sure. For sure. But Yes, that's what we're doing. How was your Easter?
It was good. It was very low key. We didn't do much. Oh, we had tornadoes that night, but it's okay. We didn't. They kind of dissipated before they got to us. Knock on wood. I also have a child's cup that I'm drinking out of.
I know. I'm just testing the straws to make sure they're in correctly.
No, I'm not. I'm just straight up drinking her water.
Well, those weren't for me. I just have to. We just do a quick little sip to make sure and we're good.
Yeah. But yeah, so we had some Easter tornadoes that stopped before they hit us, thankfully. But yeah, other than that, it was very low key, very relaxing.
Okay. I mean, there's that.
Oh, we did. So we talked to someone Saturday. We talked to James's bio mom.
Oh, it's been a while.
It's been years. We haven't been able to get in touch with her, and we finally did. So, okay. So there's this weird thing I do where I have dreams of people, and it's happened a couple times. And every time I have a dream about someone, I wake up and I'm like, huh, I should text. And every time I do, like, the only other time that comes to mind was a friend of mine. I won't go too far into it, but I didn't think she was in like a great place. And so I reached out to her and it turns out she wasn't. Mm-hmm. And yeah, stuff like that. So I dreamt about his mom. And so I reached out to her. The last time we tried was in December. And it was when they actually declared martial law in South Korea. So we were kind of worried. And it was only like that was only a thing for like 10 hours, I think. And they then they were like, oh, never mind. That was probably not a good idea.
Don't do that. Undo.
Yeah. So, but yeah, we reached out to her then and we weren't able to get in touch with her. Well, I did it on a whim after I had a dream about her. And yeah, we got in touch with her. She texts back. We talked to her Saturday.
Okay.
And it was very nice because she's so sweet. She's such a sweet lady. Yeah. And she, like, we had Annie come up and say, like, hey, grandma. And I think she squealed was a good word. Like, she was just so excited.
Because if it's been a few years, has she really ever seen Annie? Maybe as an infant, but I was going to say, I don't even think, I haven't personally heard about his bio mom probably for 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
Can you believe we've known each other for like 5 or 6 years?
Absolutely not. Wait, no, yes, I can. Yes, I can. It feels like it.
Wow.
No, she, before we got in touch with her, like texting, she didn't even know she knew about Jack, but she didn't even know about Annie and Lee.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So when I was texting her and I sent her pictures and all, she said she was crying. Like, she's so happy.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my feel good story for the week.
That's so sweet.
So how was your birthday / Easter? But more importantly, your birthday, to be real.
It was fine. No, I'm going to put Cody on blast. He forgot my birthday.
Oh, no.
He forgot my birthday. So someone was a little grumpy that morning. I feel like rightfully so.
When did he remember?
He noticed I was getting irritated with him and was like, what is wrong with you? Okay, let me just also preface this by Cody normally works Sundays. He took Sunday off knowing it was Easter and my birthday. And so he's off, like, he's doing his thing, and he's getting frustrated, and I said, what did you forget? And then it, like, dawned on him, and I was like, yeah, Jackass.
Oh, no.
So he was in the doghouse for a little bit on Sunday, but we went to my grandma's, did an Easter egg hunt. We also went to Texas Roadhouse for dinner, because I was like, ooh, it's my birthday, I'm going to celebrate me, and I don't care. And so we went to Texas Roadhouse, and the boys loved it. Oh my god.
What did they eat?
Steak.
Perfect.
Yeah, they had some steak and some broccoli and rolls, and we did do a bloomin' onion. They were unsure about that, but
they'll learn to love it.
That's fine. But what they loved was just everything. They were looking around, they were having, and I think part of it was that it was loud, so JJ was being loud. Leo was just having the time of his life. Like, it was just real fun to watch them. Because that's, like, the first time we've actually done a sit-down dinner like that. Like, we've never done...
Oh, they haven't been, like, out to a restaurant.
Yeah, like, we might have gone to, like, Chick-fil-A or something stupid like that. But we've never done a sit-down restaurant with them.
Yeah, where there's people constantly walking back and forth. Oh, I bet they were loving it.
Oh, my God. They were loving it. They were Loving it. But and we also, oh, before that, we took them and put them in swings, like a swing for the first time.
I saw
loved that. Yeah. So, like, basically, the boys had the best day of their lives. the boys were loving it. They had the best days ever, and no one can tell them otherwise. But yeah, it was just kind of like quiet for the most part. So now Cody, he's like trying to figure out how he can unscrew himself for Mother's Day stuff.
A swig. Awala swig. Oh, swig and awala.
That's why I'm getting the second one, because I was only going to do the one. But he pissed me off. I'm getting both.
Sounds fair to me.
So, it's a his problem. He did this to himself. Yeah. He just said, you are already getting both. Well, now he doesn't know, but I'm getting the Lilo and Stitch ones too.
Okay, if you're already getting both, then now you get three. Stop while you're ahead, Cody.
Now I get four, actually.
No. Oh.
The Lilo.
Well, one's a set. You can't just buy one.
Right, right. It's a set. So, yeah,
like, be real.
Yeah, so, like, he's kind of SOL on that one. Yeah. But, you know, whatever. It's fine. It's fine. but my point being is that he's got a lot of ass kissery to do.
Uh-huh.
Between now and Mother's Day, I guess.
He better start bringing home bringing home the swigs and flowers.
Swigs and flowers. Once a week.
Yep.
Swigs
can't
and
be on the same day. Has to once be a different a day each week.
The rule has to be a different day each week. Can't be the same day each week.
Yep. That way we know he's thinking.
What? Yeah. But there it has to be weekly. He said, okay.
At least once a week.
He says he doesn't do spontaneous very well, so.
Figure it out. He doesn't do planned well either, apparently.
I know. He doesn't do anything well, I guess. I don't know. I love you. But yes, so that's how my birthday was. It's fine. We got over it. But yeah.
I do have to say, and it's not often that I take up for Cody, so I guess I'll do it this little bit. I do have to say, it probably sucks for both of you when, like, Easter lands on your birthday, because surely it's happened more than once.
Yeah, it's happened a couple times, but never since I've been with Cody. And when I looked at a chart to see when it would happen next, it's not for, like, another 80 years.
Wow, so he had one chance and he blew it.
One chance.
Dang, never mind. I was trying to help.
When is the next time Easter will be on April 20th? Okay, it's not 80, but it's 62 years.
Okay, so there's a possibility.
Not a good possibility.
But it's there.
You gotta remember, Cody's 10 years older than I am. Well, not quite. He's like 9.
Close.
But.
Okay, yeah, he had one chance.
Well, it's funny because the reason that this even, like, I even knew that is because my mom and I were talking about it being on my birthday. And it's been on my birthday a few times since I've been alive.
Yeah,
but now it's like 62 years from now. It'll be on the 20th again, so I don't have to worry about it for another 62 years. But it's just weird that it was like, I had like 3 years where I was able to. I had 3 years like where Easter's been on my birthday, and now it's like 62 years between.
Oh,
it's just weird. It just felt like, I don't know. So.
They were probably like, you know what? He screwed this one up. We really can't do this again.
We can't do this again. So, yeah, it's just one of those things where I was like, okay, because it was, let's see, since I have been born, 2003, 2014, and 2025. So, like, it feels like all of a sudden there's really quick ones. And then, like
once every 10 or so years.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's just really weird. We just go with it.
All right. So.
But anyways, that's how I am. That's everything. Are you ready to hear about some socials?
Yes, I am.
Are you sure? You questioned that. You seemed like you weren't.
Well, that's because when you're done with the socials, I have to tell this stupid story. So, like, am I ready to hear the socials? Yes. Am I ready to stop hearing about the socials? Not quite.
Okay, well, let's talk about socials for the next hour.
Okay.
Okay, I'm just kidding. We won't do that. But we have them. Instagram. Facebook, Helen Hills Podcast, X Helen Hills Pod. We have all of those. We do post pictures on Instagram and Facebook so that if you want to see the pictures we're referencing, you can go online, see those pictures. We also have our Discord, which we are using just to post random shit, because why not? So Discord's up and going. We have our emails. So if you have questions, comments, concerns, complaints, if you want to be teased, sure. Or if you just want to send us words of encouragement, you can email us hellonhillspodcast@gmail.com. And then we also, if you're having an issue finding anything that we have, you can just Google Hell on Hills Podcast Linktree. And if that Linktree, I mean, it's the first thing that comes up, but that Linktree has the links to all the things. So you can find everything from there. And then if you do enjoy our bullshittery, make sure to tell your friends to listen as well. But other than that, I think we're good.
Okay. Well, so with our last episode, you left me in a hate-filled state. So I'm going to do the same to you. And everybody else is just along for the ride.
I would like to point out that's not fair. You knew. You had warning. You actually had the option. I said, I don't have to do this right now. I can do a different one. And you said, no, just do it.
Okay. That's like asking somebody, hey, do you want me to pull this tooth on the count of three? Or do you want me to pull it on the count of two, but tell you I'm going to count to three? That's what you just did. Do you want me to do this story now? Or do you want me to do it when you least expect it?
You know what? You had the choice, and that's all that matters. Okay. You had a choice.
Well, you also knew that this was happening at least days in advance. So, but you don't know what story I'm doing. You
just I don't know what story. So,
well, let's jump right into it. Oh my God. They're so messy. It's wonderful.
They're eating enchiladas.
Of course they're messy. No wonder.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is back. It's on a Saturday, June 15th. 2023, and it was after 11 p.m., so it was pretty late at night. Brianna Mitchell was on her way home from work. She was going down a dark two-lane country road, so, you know, it's not, you know, they don't have street lamps and stuff. She was actually going down Burleson-Retta Road in Texas, and she swerved off the road, and she blew a tire on her Mercury Mountaineer, so that's an SUV, for anybody wondering. The only reason I put that in. Brianna was only 24. She was a chef at a private club, so she would often work late. And when she went off the road, she did take out a mailbox, and she finally came to a stop in the grass on the front lawn of a home in this area. So Holly and Eric Boyles and their 21-year-old daughter came out of the house to check on the car. And then a couple minutes later, there was a youth minister, Brian Jennings. He was on his way home, so he stopped as well, which is kind of cool because, like, this is just all, like, just a bunch of people helping this car, right? Like, I feel like you don't see that nowadays.
It's just, like, a bunch of random people, yeah.
Yeah, just a bunch of random people coming to help. Now, Brian, like I said, he was a youth minister. He was headed home from his son's graduation party, and he told his son and his godson to stay in the truck with their seatbelts on and just wait for him. And sources vary on who was in this truck. We know for sure it was two middle school aged. Oh my God, my brain broke.
That middle then. Age and whoa. Middle school preteen.
Woo.
Early yeah, teen.
Oh my God. The other day, you remember this is off topic. It's fine. Y'all are used to it. Remember when I sent you those TikToks of the woman trying to say spoon and fork and she kept saying like spork and foon?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that happened to me in real time the other day, and it really is a brain-melting situation, because I was talking to a woman who works in the wire department. We're both in the break room. And she was asking me about this new guy. She was like, well, who is he? I was like, oh, I think his name's so-and-so. He's, like, on the opposite side of my cubicle. So we mm-hmm. don't talk, but I hear noises all the time. And I know I'll be making some mouth noises that I don't want to make, so I'm not hating. Is there a balloon situation going on above your head right now?
Yes.
Okay.
I cool. have two balloons. I have a red and yellow balloon over here.
Okay. God, our poor listeners are like, what is going on?
So, I'm just here eating my enchilada listening to Amanda's story.
So anyway, she was asking me about him and I was like, yeah, I think this is his name. He's in Chod. And I just looked at her and I was like, what is happening? And she's like, I know. He's in card fraud. And I'm like, He's in Chod. I don't know. Yeah, that's how I felt just then. Which, by the way, at work now, in my specific department, that is only known as Chod.
Well, so, I only call kiosk hoists now. So.
Thanks. I'm telling you. It's just, and you feel better doing it, don't you? I brought a little light into your day. I'm happy my ignorance could do that for you. What the hell was I talking about?
The middle-aged children. The middle-aged children.
The middle school-aged children. Again, this is why I don't veer from my notes. Anyway, yeah. Sources varied, but they were two boys, and they were middle school-aged. The most credible thing I could find said that these may have been his son and his godson, so I stuck with that. And I believe they were like 12 and 13 years old, somewhere around there. So still young, but old enough to be like, okay, dad's going to help this car real quick. We're going to hang out.
Right.
Now, Brianna, she was on the phone with her mom, and she was kind of telling her about the wreck and what happened while everyone was just kind of, you know, like standing around, looking at the car, seeing, you know, assessing the damage.
Mm-hmm.
And Eric Boyles, he grabbed his mailbox and he took it to put it in his garage when he heard a crash.
Wait. His mailbox?
Yeah, remember I told you she knocked over a mailbox?
Oh, okay. Okay,
yeah, sorry. he picked that up. Yeah, and he had taken it to his garage. So he heard a crash when this happened.
I was stuck on the middle-aged children.
Oh, thank you. Okay. And that's what led to you being stuck on the mailbox.
Yeah.
Okay. So Eric Boyles, the crash he heard was... So at the same time this was happening, there was a red Ford F-350, which is like, you know, guys, F-250s are big. F-350s are like, chill, calm down. So there was a red Ford F-350 is flying down this road, this 40 mile an hour road at 70 miles per hour.
Why?
There are 6 teenagers in the cab of the vehicle. There are 2 more teenagers in the bed of the vehicle. This truck allegedly loses control, slams into Brianna's SUV, and then into Brianna, Holly, Shelby, and Brian. These 4 adults were all thrown around 50 to 60 yards, and they were all pronounced dead upon EMT's arrival at the scene. The Ford...
I hate you. They didn't do... They were helping!
The Ford then hit Brian's truck with the 2 middle school age boys inside, and then the Ford flipped and hit a tree. This collision sent Brian's truck into oncoming traffic where it collided with a Volkswagen Beetle. Now, multiple 911 calls described this scene, and
you're going to make me listen to one, aren't you?
No, I tried to find them because the morbid side of me wanted to hear them. I found a couple of transcripts, and they were. Every single one of them was just basically people reporting this accident, and the dispatcher would ask, well, how many cars were involved? Nobody could tell them. How many people are hurt? Nobody could tell them. People described children lying in ditches. It was chaos. 2 of these 15-year-old boys, the 2 that were riding in the bed of the Ford, they were thrown, does not feel accurate. They were launched from the bed of this truck. Solomon Muhammad, he suffered numerous broken bones and internal injuries. And Sergio Molina, he was in a coma for a while. He suffered brain damage, left almost completely paralyzed. He communicates by blinking his eyes. And the last, like the most updated thing I could find, they don't think they were going to, you know, get therapy, but they did not have high hopes for this therapy. The driver of the Ford, Ethan Anthony Couch, he pretty much just walked away, and he had been cited for possessing and drinking alcohol just 4 months before this crash.
Oh my god.
He was born April 11th, 1997.
Too close to my birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday, you dirty son of a bitch. Fred and...
No, not a happy birthday. Unhappy birthday to you.
Yes, okay, yes. Very, very unhappy birthday.
I hope you stubbed your toe on every corner. Every piece of furniture you own was out to get you that day.
Hold on to that energy. You're going to need it later. Fred and Tanya Couch. They were his parents. They were married in 1996. They got divorced in 2006. Fred, he founded Cleburne Metalworks in 1986. This is a roofing company. And according to a 2019 story in the Chicago Tribune, Cleburne Metal has an estimated annual sales of $9.59 million. Ethan started working there when he was 15. It was unclear whether he received a high school diploma or equivalent. Tanya, she was a vocational nurse until she lost her license. We'll come back to that. Don't worry. The Couch family, now, they had several run-ins with the law over the years. In June of 1988, Fred was accused with buying a $46 pair of shoes with a bad check. This was dismissed after he paid $830.56 in restitution.
Was an expensive pair of shoes.
That was an expensive pair of shoes. In 1992, he used another bad check to buy $26.41 worth of gasoline. This was also dismissed after he paid $274.80.
Sir, you gotta stop doing that.
That same year, 92, court documents show that Fred, this is a quote, intentionally and knowingly caused bodily injury to Tanya Couch by striking her on or about the face with his hands, causing Tanya to fall and grabbing her on or about the neck with his hands, scratching her neck.
This was that dismissed. Attempted murder. That hands around the neck, that's attempted murder as far as I'm concerned.
This was dismissed because Tanya didn't press charges.
Yeah, girl.
Fred was also stopped for a DWI in 1992, where he allegedly told... I say allegedly, but sources did state that he admitted to telling the officer, I make more in a day than you make in a year.
So why the hell are you writing bad checks?
That's a good question. And then in 2000, he was convicted of misdemeanor assault. Now, back to Ethan Anthony Couch. He grew up in Burleson, Texas. He attended Anderson Private School in Fort Worth until the principal questioned why Ethan was driving himself to school at 13 years old.
I feel like that's a valid question.
I also feel like that's a valid question. Fred did not like that. He told the principal he could buy the school.
Okay, why are you writing bad checks?
Shortly after this, Ethan withdrew. He started attending a co-op in Watauga until he was 15, when he enrolled in a community college. Now, when Ethan was 15, he was found with a 12-ounce can of beer and a 1.75 bottle of vodka in a parked car at 1 a.m. Also in the car was an unconscious, naked 14-year-old girl.
Sir, no.
It was stated in multiple sources that Tanya said in a deposition she never disciplined Ethan for this. Ethan pled no contest to two charges, one being minor in possession of alcohol and the other minor in consumption of alcohol. He was sentenced to probation, a compulsory alcohol awareness class, and 12 hours of community service.
That's not enough, especially if his parents are not. Because I can't imagine someone just not being punished. Like, Leo and JJ do that shit. Ooh, better get familiar with every ridge on that wall of yours, because our walls are textured.
Yeah. You put know, your nose like, to it, bud.
You're going to be there for a long time.
Bryce, this was 4 months before the wreck that killed four people and injured multiple others. Now, the night of this accident, in particular, Ethan and his friends had stolen two cases of beer from a local Walmart. This was proven on security footage. And 3 hours after his crash, they tested his blood alcohol. Would you like to know what that was?
0.18.
Up.
0.26.
You were right. 0.24. You had it right. Yeah. It is at 0.24 3 hours after the accident. This was like three times the legal limit for an adult.
That's like alcohol poisoning. Like, his stomach should have been pumped.
Oh, he also tested positive for Valium. And some sources said marijuana.
Okay, I maintain he needs that stomach pumped. Because that's... Yeah. That's excessive.
Now, the after this, obviously, the Tarrant County District Attorney's Office, they released a statement saying that they were aiming to put Ethan behind bars. He was charged with... I mean, yeah, can you blame him?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not arguing that. Please do.
He was charged with 4 counts of intoxication manslaughter, 2 counts of intoxication assault, which he did plead guilty to. And prosecutors were seeking 20 years in prison for Ethan. This was the maximum sentence. But his defense, now they had other plans.
His defense can go slip on a banana peel.
That was so PG. That was precious.
I don't know where that came. It's because the original comment that I filtered was not PG.
And that's mom shit, y'all. So, yeah, the defense had other plans. His parents hired what was described as a top gun trial attorney. They also had a defense psychologist who was arguing that Ethan suffered from affluenza. Yeah, tabloids love that term. Ethan became known as the affluenza teen. Tabloids also called this the Richie Rich defense. So what they were saying was basically, this wasn't Ethan's fault. This was his parents' fault. I got ice cream. Okay. Sorry.
Oh, that reminds me. Hey, babe, when you get a second, will you get me my ice cream?
So, yeah, this was Ethan's parents' fault because they never set boundaries or punished him. And this, along with growing up in a wealthy family, left Ethan unable to appropriately anticipate the consequences of his actions.
Okay.
In the end, District Judge Gene Boyd sentenced Ethan to 10 years.
Oh, that's not enough.
Of probation.
Oh. That's nothing.
People were pissed.
I hope so.
Yeah, this was like public outrage. Like there were other psychiatrists and psychologists that were basically saying like, okay, if you're trying to prove him a point, this isn't how you do it. This isn't going to do it. Like I said, this is why he became known as the affluenza teen and, you know, the Richie Rich defense. People were not having it. The family of Sergio Molina, and I do apologize if I'm saying that wrong, they came forward, and I believe it was his brother who basically said, you know, my brother's has a lifetime sentence right now. He's got probation, like 10 years of probation. This is bullshit.
I know. I completely agree with that. He killed people and then left someone completely incapacitated.
Yeah. Like that. It was said that he will probably need care for the rest of his life. And he was 15 when this happened. So he robbed this. So he basically robbed, in my opinion, 5 people of their lives because Sergio, he's not going to be living the same life that he was.
Yeah.
And then it's a slap in the face to the other family as well, to the family of Brianna, Brian, Holly, the Boyles.
Yeah, the families that lost loved ones.
Yes. So, okay. Let me tell you what happened in the years since the trial. Okay. Fred, in 2014, he was arrested for impersonating a police officer. Police found him on the scene of an accident, and he told them that he was a reserve officer for a different county. And after the investigation of the accident, these officers checked back with Fred, and he told them, again, hey, I'm a reserve officer in another county. And he told them that his police stuff was in the car, which just sounds so not police, by the way. Like, I've never heard a police officer be like, oh, my police stuff. I left my police stuff at home. It's always like my gear, my badge.
Like, my police stuff is like my belt, my badge, my gun.
Yeah, my vest. Maybe a taser,
my baton. Yeah, like,
my walkie.
I don't feel like that's police stuff you would leave in the car.
It's same. Like, even if you're off duty, I don't know. You know I've never been a cop. Hey,
Dad, you have been a cop.
Do you call it stuff? Police stuff?
Was it police stuff? Because I don't remember you calling it police stuff at all. But maybe it's because you were a corrections officer. I don't know. But I also don't ever remember you leaving it in the car. Like, I feel like I have memories of you always coming home and putting, like, your gun in the safe and putting your belt away and, you know, doing, like, the normal stuff.
Yeah. Did
you leave it in the car?
Is that the correct jargon?
We're wondering. Dad, let us know.
Now, Fred, he did show him his wallet with a badge in it. And so they let him leave. But one of the officers on scene used to work for the county Fred claimed to work in, and he didn't recognize Fred, and he didn't recognize the badge that Fred showed them. So they cleaned up what they were doing. They finished their investigation, and then they launched another one into old Fred Couch. They found that Bryce, he wasn't an officer in that area.
And he had never been an officer in the state of Texas. And then, after they found that out, they officially charged him with false identification as a police officer and misrepresentation of property.
Yeah, that's illegal. You can't impersonate. Like, there's certain professions and people you just can't impersonate. Doctors. Police and doctors.
Yeah.
Those are the two I can think of.
Yeah. And then, soldiers. Like, I don't think that's technically illegal, but, like, hey, those stolen valor, that...
You know what? Yeah.
They go crazy. Should we ask? Yeah, is it technically illegal?
What professions are illegal to impersonate?
James, but he's not here. James is big on stolen valor.
Law enforcement, doctors, lawyers, firefighters, foreign government officials, impersonating individuals or entities that the U.S. government owes money to or pretending to be a creditor of the United States is also illegal.
Okay, so don't do that, guys.
Yeah, so law enforcement. Oh, and it says government officials next to law enforcement.
Okay, so don't tell anybody that you work for the government, unless you do.
Let me just double check on the impersonate military personnel. Yeah, because I would assume that's under, like, government or government officials or something. But yes, it is illegal to impersonate military. Well, it says can be.
Can be, okay. So maybe if you're, like, if you're saying you're active military and you're not or something...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how it is. I'm just telling you, law enforcement, doctors, lawyers, firefighters, foreign government officials, and then government officials.
Okay, so... Oh, he wasn't done, by the way.
Oh, okay.
In 2016, authorities received a 911 call from a woman in Eagle Mountain, Texas. She claimed to be Fred Couch's girlfriend and that he had choked her and prevented her from leaving. And now, when police arrived, Fred was no longer there and the woman refused to cooperate with investigators. Although they did note that she had red marks on her neck that were consistent with her story.
Why would you call the police and then stop cooperating?
The only thing I can think of is that she's afraid. Like, this man's obviously abusing her.
Yeah, but, like, you took the first step, which was calling the police.
True. I don't know.
And I don't know. I don't understand it. But, like, to me, like, she took the first step. Yeah. Why are we going backwards now? Like, I don't know. I don't get it. I'm sure a lot of it comes down to fear.
Yeah.
But I just...
Well, I mean, I showed James a TikTok the other day. I can't remember if I shared it with you or not. Like, what is the number one cause of death in women?
Men.
Anybody know that? It's men. It's not breast cancer.
Men.
It's men.
So. Yeah, I knew that. I think I've seen the TikTok. I might have sent you one like that.
You probably... Honestly, it could have been that you sent it to me and then I sent it right back because I feel like we do that often.
And I think it's because what happens is you have a list that you send me and I start and I forget that I'm not on my For You page.
Same.
And I'm like, send that.
I love it. Okay, so it was in one source, it was said that at the age of 48, Fred Couch had 22 accusations on his record. And these accusations included 4 criminal misdemeanor allegations, 18 traffic violations, including speeding and driving without a license. And Tanya had her own list too. In 2003, she was charged with reckless driving when she forcibly ran someone off the road. And failure to report this is what cost her nursing license that I mentioned earlier. She was also arrested in Puerto Vallarta. No, I think it would be Puerto Vallarta.
Vallarta.
Okay.
I would assume so.
I had to backtrack and go into Spanish for us.
I was like, it's Texas, and if it's a double L, it's yeah. So Puerto
no, this Vallarta. Was Mexico.
Oh, Mexico. Sorry.
Yeah, but still a double L. So
yeah,
like I said, I Puerto had to go Vallarta. Back. So she was arrested in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, December 28th, 2015. She was sent back to the U.S. on December 30th on a felony charge of hindering apprehension of a felon. As a plea deal, she was sentenced to 180 days in Tarrant County Jail, where she was given time served and released. Giving credit for time served.
So, like, this whole family is just slap on the wrist, left and right, up, down.
Well, Bryce, do you want to take a guess at who the felon was?
I assume her husband.
No, it was Ethan. It was her son.
Please, people.
So, I want to show you a video.
I don't want to see a video.
It's very short. It's 16 seconds.
It's very short. That does not change.
It's not. Okay. It might make you mad, but it's nothing. Just shut up and watch the video, okay?
Tell me how to live my life, okay? Hot damn.
Look, it's my story, and I'm telling it my way.
Well, then share your damn screen.
Working on it. That's
blue, blue, blue.
Are you ready?
No, hold on. Let me expand my screen. Okay, I'm ready.
Yeah, chaos, right? So
I'm gonna, okay, a couple things. First of all, I genuinely thought that was a girl standing in like just a t-shirt, and I was like, where are your pants, ma'am?
Right here?
It is a boy.
Right
no, the one that jumped.
Oh, oh okay.
I, like, at first, it looks like a girl. You can't see their face. It looks like a girl that's wearing just, like, a baggy t-shirt. And I was like, why am I seeing this? You got some knobby knees, okay?
Yeah.
It's, those are just pants that are khaki? Is that the right?
I would say khaki, yeah.
I mean, tacky khaki, but you can't, just mad. So, what I'm seeing is a, I assume, what's his face? Ethan?
Right here.
Yeah. I don't know where you pointed.
Oh, I couldn't see my mouse.
No.
Cursor? Oh, so he's the one standing up in the background right here with the button-up stupid black shirt.
So he's not the one jumping. Okay, so there's a dumb boy jumping onto a table like a
beer pong.
Beer pong. I was going to say booze pong.
Oh, it's the same thing. I don't know anyone who calls it that, but
it's just me apparently. But he was jumping onto a booze pong table. He just face planted right onto the table. He like dove.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But that's what that whole video was, guys.
Yeah, so this video was actually leaked on Twitter and it was reposted by someone called Blonde Spectre, who claims that she has more video of the party. And it says, "Your boy Ethan Couch violating probation. I got more if you want," was the caption to the video.
Man, he pissed her off.
I don't know what he did, but you go, girl.
She was pissed. She was like, all right, Ethan.
This video surfaced on Twitter December 2nd, 2015. And out drinking was a direct violation of his probation.
How old is he at this point?
I can hear.
He's born, what, 97? And what, this was, did you say 15?
15, yeah. So what is that?
So 18? He's not even 20 yet.
Yeah, he's 18.
Okay, so, like, not only is it a violation of his parole, probation.
Yes, probation.
It's just still illegal because you can't legally drink until you're 21. You still got a couple years left. Yeah.
So he's learning lessons, right?
Yeah. No. And let me just say, like, drinking's not that exciting. Like, I waited until I was 21 to drink.
No, I didn't.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, but I waited. It wasn't. And when I finally did. To drink beforehand.
Yeah, no.
But,
absolutely
like.
Absolutely not.
The way you said it was like, it wasn't worth it to drink. No, it's fine. I don't drink very much natural. But, like, I don't understand children's fascination with alcohol. Because, first of all, most alcohol does not taste good.
I will pin a guess on, have you started telling the boys not to touch the electrical outlets yet?
No, because of how our house is, and we have jail.
What?
Their playpen, jail.
Oh.
We just throw them in and play warden.
I was like, you put your electrical outlets in jail?
What? No, we put our children in jail, and then we play warden, okay?
Yeah, I think it has something to do with that no word. You know, just like, okay, being a teenager, rebelling, that's... I get it, okay? I get it. That's part of life. But you killed 4 people. Bro. Right.
And seriously injured others. Like,
right. And in this video, he is not seen drinking. However, a warrant was issued for his arrest December 11th when his probation officer couldn't reach him to, I don't know, maybe verify that he wasn't drinking. He and his mother were reported missing after they were unable to contact either of them. Now, Tanya, after they did find her and she was sent back to the U.S., she did eventually post bail when it was lowered from the original $1 million down to $75,000. Ethan was shipped back to the U.S. on January 29, 2016. He was held in custody until February 19, 2016. His case was transferred to the adult court system,
Good.
On April 13th, 2016, District Judge Wayne Salvant sentenced Ethan to 4 consecutive terms of 180 days in jail. 720 total days. And it was 4 consecutive terms of 180 days because it is 180 days in jail for each person he killed in the car accident he caused.
Hold on. That's not enough.
No. He was released from jail on April 2nd, 2018. He has to wear an ankle monitor, an alcohol detection patch, submit to drug testing, conform to a 9 p.m. curfew. He is allowed to drive, but not without passing the video-equipped ignition interlock device installed in his car. Basically, it's a breathalyzer. And in March of 2019...
And it's video-equipped, so he can't even be like, someone blow into this, bro.
Yes, because finally, it sounds like someone's catching on to this little bastard. In March 2019, a county judge approved the removal of the ankle monitor because I guess he's just been so good. Ethan was arrested again in January of 2020 for testing positive for THC, but he was released after one day because it could not be determined if the test was positive from marijuana or CBD oil.
Nah.
I will say, CBD can have THC in it that can be absorbed through the skin, but that's still bullshit.
I also agree it's bullshit, because if we're going on his track record, it's bullshit.
I get also that they have to have evidence as well. I hear it. I get it. But my God, guys.
My God. Obviously, none of these people, and that is why I included so much on his mom and dad, none of these people are going to learn a lesson.
No, absolutely not.
Because what I did not add in here, but I did see, was that his mom was, she withdrew $30,000 for this vacation. They were found in a resort in Mexico.
So, like, he was living up his life.
Yeah. With his stupid black hair. Look how shitty he looks.
I haven't even looked at the pictures, honestly.
He looks so stupid. He's so ugly. Grotesque.
Ugh. Uh-huh. He looks... Okay. I'll keep that comment to myself.
I have to think he dyed his hair to avoid detection. Why else would you do that? Look at how bad it is. And button your shirt up. You're gross.
He's got a slightly hairy chest.
Yeah, because he's a fucking child.
I didn't say he was.
Ugh. He's disgusting. He's foul. Excuse of a human being.
Yeah, I'm not his biggest fan by any means.
That's the affluenza by the way.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is he's just set an example for other shitheads to do this.
Money Bass Freedom? Yeah, that's the example that they said.
Why do we keep doing this? Why do we keep doing this Money Buys Freedom? Because people then are like these people that can. Like, I'm not saying me. I don't have money. I'm not buying anyone's freedom.
No, the same. I can't even buy my own.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. I'm just going to remain free. So, like, I don't do something stupid. That's my plan. But, like, why do we keep doing this and allowing people to not be appropriately sentenced or punished for the crimes they commit? Now, do not get me wrong. On the story we covered last week, he did not get enough time, period, end of story. But he also didn't have arrest history beforehand. Like, this was his first this case with this Ethan Couch, whatever the fuck.
Yep.
He has priors. Uh-huh. And he has what's after prior. Afters. He has afters.
Yeah.
So, like,
his whole family is constantly in trouble.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and that's where I'm like, why is it that they're constantly causing issues and yet constantly not having consequences?
And that was a really good, there was a really good argument that I found. First of all, like, MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, hate this guy. Whoa, they were mad. But there was an argument that a woman made, and I should have got her name, and I'm sorry, I suck. But she was basically saying, like, what that judge did was pitted, classes against each other. You were basically saying people with wealth can buy their way out of this, whereas people with money cannot. And they brought a case that same...
Without money cannot.
Yes.
You said people with money cannot.
Oh, my bad. People without money cannot. And they brought a case up that the same judge ruled on, I believe it was 10 years earlier, where a boy was driving drunk. He was only at 0.11%. And as a reminder, Ethan here was at 0.24. And this guy killed one person and was sentenced to jail time. Yeah. What's the difference?
I mean, four people versus one, you know?
Yeah.
Like you would all think there'd be differences
or worse.
I hate him so much.
I do. I hate him.
I don't understand why people keep doing this. Like, I don't understand how, obviously, like, I'm not in the rich world, but A, I don't understand how rich people are like, yeah, I'll just use my money to buy whatever, like, buy myself out of stuff. Why don't you save your damn money and not do stupid shit?
I think because they don't have to save it. Because, like, me and you have to, like, save money to do stuff. They can just be like, oh, damn, I wrecked my car. Better go get another one. And I'm like, oh, damn, I wrecked my car. I still owe money on that thing. Like,
well, I just mean, like, they could be doing things that are, like, fun. Like, instead of being shitheads, they could be like, we live on a cruise half the year. Or we rented a private jet just for kicks and giggles to fly to Tokyo and back. Why not? Like, they could be doing random fun shit and staying out of trouble.
But instead, they have to...
Yeah, and that's what I mean, is, like, you could be doing things that are actually fun.
It is 2025. You can go to space for 10 minutes.
You can go be... You can, you know what? You could go pay someone to auto-tune the shit out of your voice and do, like, number one only single you'll ever release, and it'll hit the top of the charts.
I thought you were going to say number one OnlyFans, and I was like, I mean, if that's where you want to go, you can do that, too.
They don't need the feet pics. You know what? If you're into it, you could pay for every single foot picture.
Yeah.
Like do something that's actually fun. Because I can't imagine. Place? No, I said if you're into that kind of thing. I said rent a jet and go to, I don't know what I said. Go to somewhere else for 30 seconds just to turn around. Like that would just, yeah, whatever. But like, they've got to live in a state of constant stress. Like, I know money is buying their way out, but they have to deal with it in some way to be like, all right, how do we, like, who do we have to pay this time? How do we get out of this? Like, that seems stressful.
I bet their lawyer sends them a Christmas card every year.
And enclosed is their bill.
This is what you owe, and just give me this for the future, because we know we're going to see you in a couple months.
They're like, you're on the monthly payment plan, the subscription plan.
Consultation's free now for you.
You pay a total of $7,487 per month. You get six consultations per month for free. You know, like, I just feel like they have to live in a constant state of some sort of stress, whether they show it or not. Because I can't imagine being on, like, let's just use the breathalyzer, not being able to just get in the car and go, like, all right, I have to get in, they have to see my face on the video camera, and I have to breathalyze and pass this, and if I don't, I'm not driving, or if I don't and I fail it, I'm in violation of probation, parole, whatever, whichever
probation was. Yeah,
probation. Right? Like,
I
feel, that
wait, no, I think at that point it might have been parole, I don't know.
Well, either way, like, there's just so much energy put into such stupid shit.
I feel like you're being too nice to them. I think they're monsters. I think they suck. And I think they don't care.
I maintain they're monsters. What I'm trying to say is, for the rich, why are you doing stupid shit? I don't get it. And I'm sure I don't get it because I'm not rich. But like...
Well, I just mean, like, you have... So you have rich people that do good. Mark Cuban. Look at him. He makes affordable medication for people, you know? Mm-hmm. And... he's rich. And then you have the couches.
But, like, I still don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get the couches, right? Like, I get Mark Cuban, like, you're doing great things. But, like, the couches?
Yeah, we need more Mark Cubans. That's the problem.
Yeah.
But we have more couches.
Can we put the couches in storage?
I say we just call them out back and burn them. I think if they were in storage, this would have never happened.
That's what I'm trying to say. Just throw them in.
Yeah.
Lock them down. Oh, God. Okay, are you ready for a different story?
Please.
Are you ready for something less annoying?
Absolutely.
Well, I haven't done this type of story in a hot minute. Mostly because I feel like all I've done lately is true crime.
Yeah, you did have a bunch of those back to back.
Mm-hmm. So, we are doing UFOs.
Oh, I looked at the pictures. Okay. Tell your story.
I mean, the pictures are supposed to be in there. So we are going to be talking. Let's just start. In August of 17... Nope. In August of 1976...
Oh, that's a big difference. That's a big old difference.
My brain got rid of the 9. I knew it was supposed to be a teen. 1976, 4 friends set off on what should have been a peaceful remote camping trip in the Allagash wilderness of northern Maine. Brothers Jim and Jack Weiner and their buddies Charlie Foltz and Chuck Rack, they were all art students from Massachusetts. They were ready for 2 weeks of canoeing, fishing, and campfires under the stars. But one night on Eagle Lake, something came out of the sky, and what started as just this beautiful night turned into a waking nightmare that would go on to haunt them for decades. And this is the story of the Allagash abductions.
I feel like I've heard of this, but please tell me again.
Okay. Well, I've never heard of this up until obviously now.
Well, it was when you were talking about the two brothers and their friends camping in the forest. And then obviously it's a, you know, alien story. I was like, this feels so familiar.
Yeah, I hadn't heard about this until ChatGPT recommended it, until Greg said, hey, do this story. And I said, okay.
If you say so, Greg.
Okay, whatever.
I'll get right on that.
I'll hop to it. No problem. So they all go out on this camping trip, and 2 nights into the trip, they see it for the first time. A strange light hovering over the trees. It was bright, but it was like too bright to be a star. And it blinked out just as quickly as it appeared. So they all see it. It's there. Clearly not a star. And then it disappears. And they chalk it up to be like a satellite or something. They're like, whatever. That was weird. Moving on. Having fun with our camping trip. And 2 nights later, they're fishing on the dark waters of Eagle Lake. And they see it again. But this time it's closer. Whatever it is, it's big. It's glowing. And it's changing colors. Charlie flashed an SOS signal with his flashlight towards the orb in the sky, and it reacted to them. The light suddenly darted towards them very fast. It hovered over their canoe, casting a beam so bright it lit up the lake like daylight.
Hate it.
The men panicked, and they started paddling back to the shore as hard as they could, and then everything was blank for them. Their next memory was stumbling out of the canoe on shore, and they have no idea how they got there. They knew they were paddling, trying to get away, but they have no memory of how they got away and how they got back to shore. And their bonfire they had lit just before heading out, it was just glowing embers, so that was an indicator that hours had passed. But for them, it felt only like minutes. And the two, they didn't really speak, or not the two, but the friends, they didn't really speak. And they just kind of crawl into their tents and pass out.
I can't really blame them for not speaking after that. Like, what do you say?
Bro, did you see that?
I mean, I guess, but...
Yeah, I can't really blame them for not doing anything, right? But it's like, what the hell?
I feel like my go-to would be like, did you see that? And if that person was like, yeah, I would be like, cool, I'm going to bed.
I feel like I would be like, you go write in your diary, I'll go write in mine, we'll compare notes in the morning.
You know right. what? That's a better idea, because I would be like, all right, that part of my life never happened. Let's move on. But so the diary is probably a good idea, because otherwise I'm going to forget a lot of key details instantaneously.
Well, the reason I say write it down in the diary is because if you don't talk about it, if you're like, did you see that? Did you see that? Okay, let's not talk about it. Let's go write it down. You guys can compare it like your version and kind of see like you saw deer across the lake. That's not what I saw, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
That's my thought. So the next morning, the friends, they all agree that they had seen something. But what it was, you know, they don't know. And where the time that had clearly passed had gone. again, they just don't know. A park ranger would later suggest maybe it was spotlights from a car dealership in Millinocket. So park ranger later suggested maybe it was spotlights from a car dealership in Millinocket. Would you like to guess how far away Millinocket is?
136 miles.
I mean, that's a lot of miles, but not that many.
Oh, the 36 miles.
75.
Damn.
So
I split the difference. No big deal.
No big deal. But
I also wonder, though, like, they said that when they flashed it, it flew towards them. So is it like a traveling car dealership? Does it move at all? Does it go to you?
Did it look like the little wavy guys, inflatable guys?
The inflatable, oh my God, what is it? Wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube men. Yeah.
Was it one of them?
And it just come running towards you? Oh my God, how horrible.
It really wanted to make that sale.
It's like, I have a quota. I have a family to feed.
Please buy this Toyota. So here's the thing, is I'm struggling to say that, like, this bright light, how they describe it, is from a car dealership 75 miles away. But, that, you know, whatever.
Okay. Sure.
They are braver than both of us. Okay. Because they just continued the trip as if nothing ever happened. They never saw the light again. And they didn't really just talk about it. They were like, this night didn't happen. Let's just move on. Finish our camping trip. We'll deal with this later. Or not. But, you know, PTSD and all, it stuck with them.
Sure. I am sure.
I have zero doubts about that. So they don't really talk about it. But years later, Jim and Jack, they begin experiencing these very vivid, terrifying nightmares. In these nightmares, they saw each other in cold, sterile rooms and paralyzed. And there were humanoid figures with large, black, lidless eyes that hovered over them. And these beings poked and prodded at them and examined them.
No, thanks. I'm good.
And these... Now, here's the thing. Is people are like, oh, it's just a dream. It's just a nightmare. But these weren't just dreams. These were literal shared nightmares.
Oh, no.
Jim and Jack were having the same freaking nightmares. They had the exact same details. And they hadn't talked about them before. Right? So, like, they're not like, oh, Jim, I had this nightmare about da-da-da-da-da. And then... Jim started having those nightmares. It's like they both independently started having these nightmares and then later started talking about it and were like, no, I've been having those nightmares. What? That's my nightmare. What are you talking about my nightmare for?
Oh, no. They were like, did you read my journal again?
Again? I told you we were to burn those.
Poor Jim's over here like, no, man, this is my journal.
And then Jack is like, bro, you don't got a lie to kick it.
Also, but Jack and Jim is so cute. I love it.
So when they realize this is what's happening, that's when they reach out to UFO researcher Raymond Fowler, and he encourages all four of the men to go to undergo regressive hypnosis, but he's like, I want you to do this separately. And the results were shocking. They were mind-blowing. So the men did. They each undergo hypnosis separately, and each man describes being taken from the canoe by a beam of light. They were inside a strange craft, separated and examined by beings, short, thin, with spindly arms, gray skin, and huge insect-like eyes. They all recalled being unable to move, and they all remembered instruments scraping their skin, taking fluids, inserting needles, the basic probing.
These are my fluids, and I would prefer to keep them where they are.
They belong inside?
Right.
Not outside of me.
But also, okay. They belong to me. You remember the consent that we're always talking... I swear to God, every episode we're talking about consent, that you're not getting it.
I think this is illegal without consent. So yes. How do the intergalactic laws handle this?
Get me your manager.
Get me the police.
How do I get Star Trek? They can help us, right? Everyone out there is like, that's not stupid. That's not how that works. My bad.
Who are you going to call the Trekkies? Okay, sorry. Hold on. So, Charlie under hypnosis, remembers lying on a table and thinking, we shouldn't be here.
Which, yeah.
You didn't consent to it.
Yeah.
And Jim, during his hypnosis, would shout, they've got bug eyes. Jack remembered hearing a voice in his head say, do not be afraid. Just do what we say.
That would immediately make me afraid.
Mm-hmm.
You're very bad at this.
Immediately, you do not have consent. Go away.
Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm. Don't go away. Put me down and then go away.
For someone to be like, don't be afraid. You just have no bodily autonomy anymore. Excuse me?
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh. Try again.
Never mind. Sorry. I guess we already did that.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Oh.
Different person. Different time. But this is men.
Mm. Yeah. These are bug-eyed. Gross.
Just do not be afraid. Just do what we say.
Yeah. Hate it.
So. Just now each. I know. Each of the man's stories was recorded separately. Their memories were all consistent. And their drawings that they did under hypnosis were nearly identical. And they basically remember after all of these procedures, they returned to the canoe just as suddenly as, you know, just as suddenly as they returned, these creatures leave. And so, like, all of them have these memories of that. And like I said, they didn't talk about it. They were like, that didn't happen. And they just kind of moved on up until they started having the nightmares. But all four men went under hypnosis.
Do they remember it after the hypnosis? Or, like, when they were, like, back at it, they just went back to not remembering anything? To, like, repressing it?
I'm not sure on that one. I'm not 100% sure. I don't remember seeing anything about it from the skimming I did. But, obviously, it's a UFO story. Nobody believes these UFO victims. I swear to God, I believe you guys. I believe you guys were abducted and probed, and I'm so sorry about it.
Okay.
You've got me bitter about the bodily autonomy right now, but they're men. And I'm like, how does it feel? How does it feel? Sorry, this is different. This is different, okay? So, obviously,
I was not expecting any of that. I'm sorry. I know I was giving you the wildest look the whole time. I could feel my face and the way it... I could feel the tone of voice my face was giving you, and I just felt the need to apologize. Because I had no idea where any of that was going, but I'm 150% behind you.
Okay. I'm sorry. These people, I don't even know these people. They might be pro-women's bodily autonomy, for all I know, and I'm over here like, how the hell, you're a man, pro-bodily autonomy. I'm sorry. This is not funny what happened to you guys. I'm so sorry. Moving on. You obviously have the skeptics. Of course, it happens every time. Now, psychologists, they warn that hypnosis can lead to false memories, especially if someone's already immersed in UFO lore, which Jim and Jack had been reading UFO books before contacting Fowler. So, could that have influenced them, right?
I guess, but when did they start? All it says is they were reading them before they contacted this guy. So, were they reading them before the camping trip, or were they reading them after?
Or were they reading them when they started getting the shared nightmares?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's not clear, but people are like, well, they were reading UFO books. Well, yeah, probably because they were abducted by a UFO.
Yeah, chill out, guys.
Calm down. One of the four, Chuck Rack, he eventually broke ranks. In 2016, he said the whole abduction part was made up. They did see the lights, but the rest was just, quote-unquote, brilliant storytelling, he claimed. Chuck even said they were stoned that night. But all the other three are like, no, we were not. We did not eat those brownies.
Just regular cacao brownies.
We didn't put any special ingredients in there. Yeah,
it was cacao, not cocaine.
Anyways, so the other three are like, no. Maybe you were, but not us. But all four of the men would undergo a lie detector test.
Okay.
All four of the men would pass lie detector tests.
Oh.
So you have Jim, Jack, and Charlie. They remain firm that they, you know, they were abducted. What they saw was real. Chuck, he's like, I'm not saying it wasn't a UFO. We just weren't abducted. But the other ones were like, yes, we were. Like, what do you mean? And so, but they all passed lie detector tests.
I'm so... I just need them to pick a lane and stay. Here's
here's the issue is it likely that three people figured out how to fool a lie detector test or one person did?
I have to go with the one person.
And is it likely that maybe he's repressing that memory still? He's in denial and he's like, that's not what happened.
I would. Mm. Without a doubt in my mind, I'd be like, nope.
Ditto.
I was drunk.
I took the cocaine brownies with me, okay?
Yeah.
My specialty, okay?
I was chowing on them while I was fishing.
It was something else. Now, this case gained traction in the 1990s. It was featured on Unsolved Mysteries, The Joanne Rivers Show, and it was later in Fowler's book, The Allagash Abductions. It is one of the very few abduction cases with multiple witnesses experiencing the same missing time and under hypnosis memories. Over the years, the Allagash case became a staple in UFO lore, and it's right up there with the Betty and Barney Hill and Travis Walton. Today, Jim and Charlie still speak at UFO events, and they tell their story not to convince skeptics, but to support others who've had strange encounters of their own. And as Jack once said, they weren't there, we were. He said that to the skeptics. So it's definitely a strange case. I know there's not like, I mean, I could have gone into like a lot of detail, but I didn't want to speak for 10,000 words. Okay. That was 25 pages. I couldn't do it. But it's very strange. I mean, people believe the Allagash abductions, they could have been, the shared dreams could have been built by suggestion. Maybe it's a long, elaborate hoax between four friends, or is it a terrifying moment when four men were really taken from the world temporarily and experimented on? So whatever the truth is, their story is considered one of the more convincing UFO stories and abduction cases. It lingers. And, you know, just it's there. It's one of those that that remains unknown. I mean, all UFO cases are unsolved. That's not true. Most UFO cases are unsolved.
And if they are solved, if a lot of them are solved, we'll probably
they're
never
hoaxes.
Know.
Well, no, I was talking about the ones that are hoaxes.
Oh, I was talking about the ones that the government knows about and won't say anything.
I'm not.
Let's be honest. That was a fork in the woods, and we just split.
It was like, you go that way, I go this way. You go to the scary side, okay? I'm gonna go to the side where they're full of shit.
See, the thing about these stories that I'm more inclined to believe, though, is like, so for all these years, these people have told the same story. And if you've got four friends sitting around a campfire being like, hey, let's go back and tell them that we were abducted by aliens. What are the odds that that story is going to stay the exact same for years? Nothing's going to add. Nothing's going to be added. Nothing's going to differ. That's why I'm like, eh.
But then one of them does differ. And he's like, it was all a joke. It was the crack brownies.
Is he still friends with them?
I assume not anymore. He's calling them crazy. He's calling them liars.
That's big word. I mean, okay, it's not, but them's fighting words, I guess I should say.
I'm not calling them liars. He's calling them liars.
I don't know. I'm kind of more inclined to believe the three still, but that could be just because I want to.
Yeah. And I will say, Chuck, who was like, no, that was all a lie. He would say that money was a factor in why they lied, why he went along with it, and then like backtracked. Because some of it was like Fowler's book came out, you know, and their stories being told and read in millions of homes. And, you know, there's a lot of media and spotlight, and he was potentially going to benefit from that book coming out and getting money and spotlight in that. So, yeah, he's going to keep going with the story, even if it's untrue.
Did he ever write his own book?
Not that I had seen.
Because you could easily argue the same thing. Like, they were getting a lot of money about it. Maybe it died down. And him coming back and being like, no, this was all a lie. That's just going to drum up more interest in it all over again.
Yeah. Some sources did say that maybe Chuck wanted to cause some drama or controversy to help sell the book. So maybe it was him just being like, hey, this is actually a lie. This isn't what happened. And it would, like, get the drama. And everyone's like, oh, well, I want to read the book now.
Yeah.
There was some sources that were like, no, he actually went to everyone and said, if we all say it's a lie, think about how many deals and movie and blah, blah, blah. And the drama would potentially get more sales. But Jack, Jim, and Charlie were like, no.
And that doesn't even make sense to me either. Like, why would lying about it get you more sick? That's not how that works.
Yeah. I think it was more the drama aspect of it.
Yeah. Like, but he was trying to keep it going and drum it up. Allegedly. Yeah,
I did look at it, and they are no longer friends.
Oh.
They're not even friendly with each other. Like, they did have a reconciliation for a moment, but they're just no longer. They're, like, done.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah.
But he still stands by, nope, this didn't even happen. He says that the lights were real, they all saw the UFO, but the abduction was fake.
Strange that that's where you draw the line.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I believe the masses. By the masses, I mean three.
They are the masses of this story. Yeah. So, it's just one of those things. It's definitely, if you guys get into this, like I said, this could be, like, an in-depth one. But it was, like, a lot of reading and all that fun stuff. And I didn't have it in me to do a super, super long one. Because I had to do all this reading on my birthday. So, anyways, I didn't have it in me. But, yeah, that's the Allegash abductions.
I like to hate that one. Because consent.
Yeah. Ugh, God, these aliens don't understand consent. We need they to really teach don't. Them that word. How do we teach them?
Aren't they supposed to be, like, super intelligent?
Yes, but they're still not getting consent.
No.
So we need to teach them yes means yes. Go ahead and ask away. Because you know people, if an alien came to them and said, may we take a vial of your blood? Why?
I would probably be like, yeah, sure. My doctor's collectively have it all the time. So yeah, look, they use this one vein. It's a good one. Just you'll pop be like, a couple hold times.
On. Let me just show you this one right here. Yeah. Just good to go. You know,
yeah. Even the phlebotomists that are still training, they can stick this guy. You got no problem. You can
do this one.
Yeah,
and if you're not taking it in the traditional way that I'm expecting you to, no.
No, absolutely not.
You are not to cut me. I do not want to feel pain. No, yes. You may not stick that there.
No, always no. Always no.
But what you may do is take a little bit of hair and use that for your experimentation or whatever the hell you're doing. You can take some blood. That's okay. Do not put anything in my body.
No.
I do not want injections.
Off of my body.
Yes, I will undress myself if it comes down to that, but I am not consenting to that. So,
I meant like toes, but yeah, that too.
Like, I need a ball. We're going different paths today.
Yeah, we're.
Please do not remove my toes.
We're taking a different route, but we're ending up in the same area.
We're just like, there's just a small barrier that separating us tonight. Yeah. I've been watching a lot of Miss Rachel, okay? That's probably where my head is.
Oh, okay. I've been having a lot of weird dreams, so that's probably where mine is. Don't take my toes. Don't take her clothes.
Don't take my toes either. Leave my toes as is. But, like, I also don't consent to you taking my butt. Don't touch me. Don't come near me.
Yeah.
I don't. This goes for everyone. Don't talk to me. Don't touch me. Don't breathe the same air as me.
I was just talking about that at work today. Yes. Like, you know, I don't like being touched. Don't touch me.
Oh, listen, it's fine. Anyways. Thank you for listening to Helen Hills Podcast. To see pictures from this episode, you can follow us on Instagram, Helen Hills Podcast, Facebook, Helen Hills Podcast, or X Helen Hills Pod. You can find us on Linktree by typing in Helen Hills Podcast Linktree. If you want to support us, please like, rate, review, share, and subscribe on your preferred listening platforms. If you have your own true crime or paranormal stories, or if you just have suggestions or words of encouragement, please email us at helenhillspodcast@gmail.com. Thank you all so much for listening. Be sure to force your friends to listen with you as well. Bye.
Bye.